Hey everyone, welcome to a special edition of Office Hours with Cloud Posse, where we're going to meet with Martine from Spacelift to discuss their new project called Spacelift Intent. It's a project challenging the status quo of IAC, and I'm sure it's going to ruffle a few feathers. But I think Martine is here to kind of really challenge us to think about what infrastructure as code means, and are we really going to be writing HCL for the next 10 years? So if that sounds interesting, stick around. We're going to have a live Q&A at the end and answer any of your questions. The format of today is relatively informal. I'm going to be interviewing or discussing live here the state of IAC with Martine, and he's going to bring some really interesting viewpoints to the table. Real quick, I'm the founder of Cloud Posse. My name's Eric. I'm responsible for everything we do around here day to day. Cloud Posse sells AWS reference architectures that get you production ready in just 2 weeks. And if you're curious to learn more about that, just head over to cloudposse.com. So, how can you maximize today's session? Well, you can engage as much as you'd like. I suggest you ask questions in the chat since we don't want to disrupt the flow of the conversation. And if you're curious about any of the topics that we have here today, this is a great place to bring those up, especially on the state of IAC. So if you want to join us live in the future, you can always join us by going to cloudposse.com/officehours, where you can register and get a live invite or an invite to our live calls every week. And if you do find any portion of today's session valuable, you'll be able to share it with your team. Just head over to youtube.com/cloudposse, where you'll find the recording posted in a few hours. So with that said, let's get into things. Hey, Martine, welcome to Office Hours with Cloud Posse.
Thank you for having me, Eric, and hello, everyone.
So, a few weeks ago, I came across this project. I don't think I even saw the announcement yet for it. And I saw it was called Spacelift Intent. I dug into it a little bit more and I was mind blown. Actually, maybe not for the good reasons initially, but a little while ago, AWS came out with like this new organization or repository full of bash scripts using the AWS CLI. And I guess that is them thinking differently. And like that just felt like the biggest regression. It was like infrastructure as bash. And I couldn't believe this was like a thing that they were putting out there, other than a veiled disguised attempt to teach LLMs how to use the AWS CLI. That can't be the future of IAC. So tell me, what is Spacelift Intent and where are you going with this? Why are we having this conversation today?
Cool. Let me give you a technical overview of what it is and what it does, and then I'll get into maybe some philosophy. I'm an engineer, so I prefer to get an architectural understanding of technical details first. I presume most of you here, the viewership is very technical. So let's imagine this is your cloud, right? We have one your cloud on one hand. There is some intent, something that you want to do to this cloud, and you're kind of like you want to define it. And then there is a process of getting your intention onto the cloud, onto the remote provider. The way you can do it, there are two ways you can do it. One way you can do it is like a caveman. You go to the AWS console, or you run bash scripts. And you just do things like this. That's not why we're here, right? That's something that we generally, as professionals, would at least raise an eyebrow on. But the second way of doing things, the only other way that of doing things, is to go through a rather strenuous process of, and imagine like how many things that go between us and Terraform state are kind of implied. I see it because we're getting people onboarded onto Spacelift every day, people who are relatively new to Terraform. So I kind of get to see what people starting to use Terraform are up against. Let's say I want to provision this three bucket properly. What I need to do first is learn one language, HCL. Then I need to discover a provider. I need to learn how to configure it. So I need to learn everything there is about AWS, authentication. Of course, you can do key and secret, but it's probably not the best thing, right? So there's authentication. Then you need to understand how an S3 bucket is wired up. So you need to learn the exact incantation. And it's not only an S3 bucket frequently, there's auxiliary resources that currently, an S3 bucket used to be one resource, now it is not. So
So before
sometimes
you
you
can
need to
even get there,
learn.
you've got to create the bucket to store your state or something like that.
You need to create a bucket. And then if you want to play together with someone else, then you need to set up some repo, right? You need to set up GitOps. And then if you want to have like centralized tracking of what's going on, you need to set up CI/CD, right? So for someone who's just starting, it could be days of work between them and an S3 bucket, right? Of course, the moment they learn how to do it, the loop is getting tighter. But imagine the amount of kind of sometimes ceremony that goes between your like, hey, I just want an S3 bucket, and when it's properly provisioned. And I'll say that the ceremony is very frequently a good thing. I'm not trying to kill Terraform. I think there's a lot of problems with Terraform as a tool or OpenTofu as a tool architecturally. And I think, yes, there is some innovation in this space that needs to happen. But I'm not after that yet. I'm trying to find whether there is a tool, there's something on the spectrum between let's click on things as a cave, like a caveman, and let's do something very, very ceremonial. And that's the idea of intent, where what we're doing is with intent, we're still using Terraform providers or OpenTofu providers. But instead of you writing HCL to express those Terraform resources, you're expressing them through an LLM, and let the LLM figure out what it is that you're trying to provision. The LLM will then go and query the provider specification. This is something that we expose as an MCP server. And then it'll show you that, hey, I'm going to create something like this. And in your LLM client, you can say, yes, it looks good. Thank you very much. It'll then discover maybe there are some dependencies on your existing resources, and it'll wire that to existing resources to express dependency trees. And then it'll save the state. And that's where it gets, I think we miscommunicated that badly. We will save the state. So every intent project in the open source version, it has a SQLite, local SQLite database. In the commercial version, we manage the state for you. And that's the beauty of it. You get kind of like, you get state management, you know what you created, you know why you created it, you get the history, and you can update and you can delete those resources. You can actually export them to HCL as well. You can export them to Terraform. You can get the state and upload it to Terraform. What I'm after here with intent is that prototyping situation where you don't necessarily need to know everything about everything that you're doing. You're just able to get started very quickly and not worry about sometimes the unnecessary ceremony.
Yeah.
That
Right.
ceremony might become necessary at some point, but my problem was that on a spectrum of let's do things as a caveman, like a caveman, and let's do things like extremely properly, there was nothing. So you either get like a giant hammer, like a Thor's hammer, to drive that nail, or you're just driving it with your forehead. There was nothing else, right? It was stupid, and that was very powerful. And sometimes you don't need Thor's power to drive in the nail, right? And
Question
that's
here.
what we're trying to get with intent.
So that's that state that you're writing is still Terraform compatible state in whatever backend you have, or is it a custom format that you have in SQLite?
Yeah, you can go to the open source repo and see how that works, but it's extremely simple. The way it works is we're sending a request to the provider, and the provider responds with the state. That's how Terraform works. That's how OpenTofu works. We take that state, and Terraform would put it in a flat file. What we're doing is we're putting it into SQLite so that every state entry is managed independently. You don't have to load this whole giant state thing. It's properly indexed, etc., for performance. But there isn't all that much difference. It's the same format, which means that like if you're exporting it, you're able to export the state and you're able to export the HCL and you get Terraform. You get, well, under the hood, you use OpenTofu, but it's the same thing, really,
Yeah.
from an API point of view. Yep.
That's really remarkable. So I get it. So one use case for this, or one way of leveraging this, could be maybe rapidly prototyping or building out the overall architecture just through prompting. It actually builds something out that you can touch, feel, manipulate. It's somewhere in between doing ClickOps and the IAC piece. And you have the state there. So now you can reconstitute that in a way that's better than having to do like querying the cloud and inferring kind of what it is, because you actually have the state there, and then it's pretty straightforward to generate the Terraform resources from what's in the state file. So it didn't totally click for me initially, but I was having this conversation with Matt Gowey of Masterpoint yesterday, and we were kind of, I really wonder what it is, and that this was his idea, Matt. Saying, well, maybe the way it works is you can kind of, you know, work on this in a sandbox, get everything the way you want, and export it at some point if you needed to.
That is one use case. I think there's another very good use case that we found, which is importing things into under Terraform or under like at least some sort of management. So frequently what we're seeing, like initially in when we started Spacelift, we thought everyone is in this beautiful world where everything is Terraformed and nothing ever fails and everything is just green. So we just help people stay in this green area forever. The reality then kicked in. Like people's runs would fail as a matter of course. Because like, yeah, we got those resources, they're succeeding, the other ones are failing. It's fine. They're supposed to be failing, right? And so you end up having to deal with an imperfect world frequently. And part of the world's imperfection is that we got those 8-year-old accounts on AWS that are not Terraformed. We know
Yeah.
that they are there, but like, and it's massive problem. It's a massive problem. It's what some people call unmanaged drift, some people call shadow IT, and it's usually
Old man's
where
drift. Never heard that one.
shadow
That's good.
unmanaged
Unmanaged
drift,
drift. Okay, I heard
unmanaged,
old man's drift.
un unmanaged.
Unmanaged drift.
Sorry,
Yes.
sorry. It's the
Makes sense.
yeah, and so. Here's the thing, Terraform and Terraform providers have data sources, and intent can read data sources. So you can actually use data sources to learn what you have that is not managed by either intent or Terraform, and bring it first under intent management. So you get them at least managed somewhere. So you can detect drift, you can refresh them, and then if you want to, sometimes they're not like all you need to know is that they're there. You don't necessarily need to ever touch them again. So maybe
Right.
Terraform would be overkill. But if you want to Terraform them, this is like an intermediate step. And the reason why I think it works is like if you've ever used something like Terraform or a tool that generates Terraform from an account, it generates that massive, like crazy amount of total spaghetti that doesn't really work, right? And we put a human in loop, we extend the human's capability with an LLM, which is a massive force multiplier, and we get that to import the resources for us. And then, as a human, we kind of give an LLM a direction, hey, we want to export this, and this resource to Terraform. Maybe they're like interconnected. And then it's good Terraform. And then we
Oh,
export
dude,
the state.
refactoring could even be an interesting play.
Exactly.
Like maybe you even have a massive Terraform estate fully built out, but like you realize that you reach the scaling limits of how you architected that. So you can refactor this way even, and it can see what the logical relationships are, maybe where the part, where you should break it into smaller pieces. That's really cool.
Yeah, and then because you're working with an LLM, it's like a massive force multiplier. You don't necessarily need to, like, if you're doing it as a human, then you'd need to be extremely specific about everything. You'd need to run exact commands, but an LLM will take your intent, will take a very high level kind of a direction from you, and it'll produce something that is quite possibly manageable. And you're right, it doesn't have to be on Terraform stuff. You could be working off a Terraform state. You might say, look, don't run things on the cloud. Here's the Terraform state. Here's what I'm managing. I want you to break it up this way, and it'll create intent projects for each one of those pieces, right? And then it can export each one to Terraform, and then the state is already managed. You're not creating anything. You're just importing things from existing state. So it becomes like you're kind of like Copilot, your superpower with managing Terraform resources.
It makes me think also, and this is so when in our little chat before we kicked off the call today, we were talking again about system initiative, which is another kind of radical take on how to perceive infrastructure as code. And one of the things that it can do is help manipulate the state to a desired state without actually applying those cloud resources, was my understanding, right? So, and I think you're kind of saying the same thing here. We can just be manipulating the state file itself. We don't need to be preoccupied with the language that transforms to that. We can just work with the underlying pieces. Yeah, that's really, really remarkable.
Correct,
And
correct.
then you can
That's the
visualize
idea.
that, of course, too. And I'm guessing, so tell me, so what's in it for you? Why are you giving away Spacelift intent?
There are two versions of Spacelift Intent. One version is a single player, which is something that you can use to exactly like do that form of manipulation. And this is something that you do on your own, more likely. We're building on top of a lot of open source technologies. We're building on top of OpenTofu. We're building on top of the OpenTofu registry. And as Spacelift, like we've always been of the opinion that if there is something that you can take off the shelf that you don't need to build like a new standard, like let's use an existing standard. Let's be where people are. And if you're trying to, my take at least is if you're trying to show people a new way of doing things, if you're trying to change a paradigm, then paradigms are best changed in the open. Let people
Meeting
see
them where
how
they're
that
at.
works. Yeah, let people see how that works, right? Let people maybe tweak it to their needs. I think the best ideas will come not from us, they'll come from outside of the community. Like we were told about this refactoring like a couple of weeks ago, way after we developed Intent, right? Our first two ideas were prototyping and importing on managed resources. And then someone said, ah, we could actually break up Terraform state with that. And I was like, yes, you can, right? So on top of that, we built like this is a local MCP server. So Spacelift Intent is a local MCP server, and we built a commercial version with Spacelift where you get like policy as code so that you can, for example, review changes as a team as they happen. You can put policies that would prevent certain operations from happening. You get state management, so like you can log projects, like you get all of the good stuff that you'd get from a multiplayer tool. Single player, we're happy to give for free. Multiplayer is something that we offer as part of a platform.
Which has been your MO from the beginning with Spacelift, and that so it just makes sense. And how seldom, what's so remarkable to me and for you and as Spacelift is how like often when you come up with a radical idea like this, all right, what's the migration effort going to be, or how are we going to even we can't even adopt this. But the fact that you're operating at this state, the fact that Spacelift is already managing the state for a lot of your customers. It's almost like you've just ripped out. Well, another way of looking at this, from my perspective, from a technical perspective, if you know how Terraform works, there's the Terraform core and then there's the Terraform plugins. And I've always wondered, well, what if you just ripped out the core and just you kept using all the plugins? And some could argue, but that's kind of a Pulumi did, but I don't know, it still felt different. This feels a lot closer to like working with the state directly, just a different controller for working with the state and the providers. And then, yeah, is that accurate?
Yeah, it's like It's like if you imagine, I think if you wanted to take this idea a bit further, then Terraform is like a robot. Like you can't really like it. It's kind of self-contained. Like it exposes some interfaces to you, but once it starts, it kind of does. It has to finish, right? So that this, for example, makes refactoring state so difficult because you kind of need to give it very verbose instructions from the beginning, right? It is deterministic, but it's deterministic in a way that kind of prevents large operations or fancy operations, the more sophisticated operations from happening. With intent, I think it's like an exoskeleton. It's like, you have a human inside. You're able to manipulate very quickly. You move the hands. There's a human inside. The human's force is multiplied by the engines, by the LLM, which means that I don't necessarily need to, if I'm inside this giant robot, I don't need to understand how the engines work to move its hand. I express my intent. I kind of like if you saw Pacific Rim with giant robots with people inside, or like Evangelion or whatever that is, it's like a human kind of drives this giant machine with the intent, with the moves of its hand. It's no longer like an autonomous robot.
Is the future of okay? So taking one step back here. So what does it mean for Cloud Posse? We have hundreds of modules. What is the concept of a module in the future world of intent, where you're not really relying on HCL anymore? Is it a prompt library that describes what that module used to do, or what is it?
Let's scope what we're doing properly. Like we're with Spacelift, we're thinking about this as day zero. So it's like this is not kind of like it's not meant to replace Terraform. It means to supplant it. It means to making it easier to work with Terraform. So for example, what it means with for Cloud Posse specifically is that if you're engaging with a customer with a lot of unmanaged resources, then you can use intent to import them under like Terraform management very easily, or you can leave them at like soft management under soft management with intent, but at least they're not completely like shadow IT, right? It makes your life easier for those engagements, right? That I do believe that that's the most kind of immediate use case for you as a consultant is.
That's interesting. And this is written in Go.
Correct, yes.
And it looks like mostly public packages. So then this can be used as an SDK.
Yes, if you want
Very
to, yeah,
cool.
absolutely. We didn't put anything behind internal so that you can use that as a library if that is what you're after. We're also we did encourage OpenTofu guys to spin parts of it as an OpenTofu managed packages. So we do depend on some OpenTofu code here. We're actually getting that out of OpenTofu and hopefully have OpenTofu use a common library with us. So it is part OpenTofu actually. What is day one then? I think what it means for modules. We are thinking of something as Spacelift, where we can bring the LLM as a force multiplier for actual code. But it's maybe a bit too early to talk about this. Maybe we can meet in like a couple of months and
Well, why don't we, exactly. Why don't we plan to have a check-in in a few months or in 6 months or something like that? But this has been really interesting, mind-opening, and I'm really happy that you're thinking a little bit outside the box. I wasn't thinking this way at all. So I'd like to pause for a moment and see here. I don't see any questions in the chat. Anybody have any questions for Martine and intent?
Yeah, sorry, I'm not
I was
the
just going to say, for the storage of the bucket or state, when you have multiple collaborators working at the same time, do you get to choose the backend, or is it by default something that's chosen by Spacelift for you?
If you're using the commercial version, we manage it for you. If you're using the open source version, that's in a local SQLite thing. If there is a lot of demand to choose backends or use like a different backend, I don't see a problem with that. Technically speaking, all we need is just like a place to store objects. There is nothing fancy here.
And right now, it's only SQLite. You couldn't use a database like Postgres or something like that.
Well, Eric, it's open source. Like you can change it. Like you can put like a, if you prefer to use Postgres, like who am I to tell you not to open a PR or fork it and use Postgres?
Cool.
The reason we
Is the
chose
project
SQLite is that
accepting
it's,
contributions?
yeah,
All
absolutely. It's
right.
open source. It's Apache 2 license. It's yeah.
Very cool.
The
So,
reason we chose SQLite is that it's there. Like you don't need to
yeah,
install
exactly.
anything.
You get, and like you said, you're optimizing A to get up and running quickly. It's designed to work as an MCP, so you have it running locally, so you really don't need the other thing right now. And then, as a commercial offering, you guys have found a way to basically offer this in a multi-user mode on Spaceflow. And this is live today. You have customers using it?
Yes.
Cool. When did you go live
It's
with it on Spaceflow?
2 weeks ago.
So one of the things we were talking about before this was kind of like, I don't know how you framed it so well, but like, it was the gist of it, like, are we going to be writing HCL and Terraform for the next 10 years? Are we going to be writing Kubernetes manifests? I don't know about that either. What was the quote that you said that they have at Google?
And the Google is the new, sorry, the old way is already deprecated. The new one doesn't exist yet.
Yeah, and that's kind of where we find ourselves here is that, what this can't be the end all be all writing HCL code. And now this is an interesting way of doing it. Have you seen any other projects trying to do the same thing?
A couple of things. I didn't necessarily get very deep into that. But there's a project that I saw just today that I think I sent it to you before. It's the Forme. They're
Yeah,
using Pickle.
let me pull that up here. Here we are. Yeah, so I just looking at this, scanning it, I couldn't quickly understand what it's doing or how it works. What was your quick take on it?
I just read a tagline that I did a bit of research. They do some interesting stuff, but I think the tagline is that we've been doing the same thing for 10 years. And I like very much agree with that, right? There hasn't been major innovation in the IEC or infrastructure, programmatic infrastructure management in the last 10 years. And sadly, it is true. And I feel like Terraform is showing some limitations as a CLI that needs to run the refresh the whole world for every single time, right? What the other project that I have in mind that is kind of forward thinking in this area is System Initiative. They break the state into constituent elements, right? And each one can be managed separately. There is a kind of reconciliation loop. There's the obvious other thing is Kubernetes operators, right? And I think in the past we've been operating under like an impression that it's only what's the name of the Terraform on Kubernetes crossplane. So the crossplane is the only alternative, but now you have really interesting stuff going on. Like you have KRO that got accepted into Kubernetes proper. So you have the concept of like modules, sort of.
It's really
And the
cool.
other thing, that's really cool is KCP, if you have looked at it,
What's
right? This
KCP?
is so the KCP, it's like a federation of operators. So instead of running an operator for every single thing, for every single CRD that you need to provision, you can have your KCP operator running, and then KCP connects to remote operators and gives you the capabilities of remote connectors or remote operators, their CRDs locally. So imagine AWS running their own operator that provisions AWS resources. And instead of you having to install an operator per cloud or per resource, you just point KCP at that operator and you get the capabilities locally. So it's like Corba in whatever 90s or whatever, but it's the old is new again, but it's a federation of capability providers. So you combine KCP with KRO and suddenly you have a reasonable story for managing infrastructure on Kubernetes.
My hang up has always been like, that's great when Kubernetes is somebody else's problem, but if it's also your problem, it's one more problem I don't want to have.
I'm with you. I'm with you. But like, I'm looking at things that are people are doing in the industry, right? It's my job sort of to understand like the new paradigms, and I feel like new things are coming up every day now that we haven't seen for 10 years. It's really exciting. It's uncomfortable, but it's
It's
exciting.
a renaissance for what we do.
Yeah.
What was the other project? I can't think of what it was. It got some attention a few weeks ago on Hacker News. It was rethinking kind of the Terraform state backend, where it was like a live graph database.
Paragraph.
State
But
graph?
it was,
State
oh,
graph.
state graph. But it's vaporware, the way I understand. It's
I don't
just
think, I mean, they have said that they're actively working on it, but I mean, the fundamental problem, right, is that state is not abstracted in the Terraform core as it is, right? So if anything, I could see state graph being something pretty awesome together with what we're talking about with intent. Like if intent had a graph database on the back end, couldn't that be interesting? Have
it
you guys
does have
given
it.
that thought?
It does have it. Like there's, we store edges separately. So there are resources as first class citizens, but there are also edges. So connections between those resources that are being stored separately. So effectively, what you're getting is a graph database.
And how and but with SQLite, you get enough performance on it with that model, data model. Wow, that's cool. So then, because one of the cool things I in like the demos was kind of visualizing what's going on at any given time, and because it's live updating something like a database, is this what you have also on Spacelift then with the commercial product, more real-time visibility into what's changing?
Yeah, so I'm actually gonna
Do you want to share
maybe
your
can
screen?
we yeah.
Yeah, stop sharing here.
Can you see the screen now?
Yeah, I love bacon.
I love bacon. I do love bacon. So we do have that resource visibility. We like it's live updated. So when you make a change, you get those resources populating here. You get history as well. Like you see what's happening. Now you see that there's a refresh going on. So there's a reconciliation happening. You do get policies. You do get integrations. Like for example, you can connects AWS resources, you manage your environment, etc. But the resources view is live. It's updated live, so it's similar to I do believe what you're showing with
So,
State
for
Graph.
users of Spacelift today, do they have to do anything to take advantage of intent, or they get it automatically?
So currently it's in early access. There is on spacelift.io/intent, there is a request to join the wait list. We need to provision resources. We need to like understand how much we need to provision. So we're currently onboarding people one by one. But if you're a paying Spacelift customer and you want to use intent, then just ping us and we'll will do that for you.
Well, so a follow-up on that would be, I'm a customer of Spacelift, already been using it. All of our stacks are managed by Spacelift. I get accepted into this program you're talking about. Will I auto magically kind of see my resources there, or is it a separate kind of pool that you opt into what it sees?
So the resources are the resources that you're managing using Intent are under what we call Intent projects. So
Okay.
they're not Spacelift stacks, they're Intent projects. But if you have your Spacelift account connected to like clouds, etc., then you can reuse those connections. So for example, if you have an AEM role that you want to use, and that AEM role is already accessible to Spacelift, then you can say, okay, in this project, I want to use that AEM role. What that means then is you can, for example, query the account for anything that you're not managing with Spacelift. We'll use this role, we'll see what you've got there, and then you can import it using this role under Spacelift management. So they're separate type of projects. We're not
Yeah.
mixing them together, right? You're either
Okay, that makes
managing it
sense.
with, yeah.
All right. Well, I know it is really late for you, and maybe you got to get back to family responsibilities. I do want to just give a shout out to Spacelift and what you guys have done.